Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
The civilization of the past 100 years, with its startling industrial changes, has tended more and more to make life insecure. Young people have come to wonder what would be their lot when they came to old age. The man with a job has wondered how long the job would last. This social security measure gives at least some protection.
That, of course, is President Franklin Delano Roosevelt 75 years ago when he signed the Social Security Act. And despite all those years, the debate over Social Security still rages.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Social Security, it means independence, a secure income. But shockingly, Sharon Angle wants to wipe out Social Security.
The real Social Security solutions are to stop Harry Reid from raiding the Social Security Trust Fund. He needs that money for his own pet projects.
Well, while Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid trades attack ads in Nevada with his opponent Sharon Angle, the fight isn't limited to the desert Southwest. This year, high unemployment forced the Social Security Administration to pay out more in benefits than it took in revenue. And that's a first. That Social Security Trust Fund is still okay, though, for now. There's enough money in the reserves to pay out full benefits until 2037. But after that, if no action's taken, benefits would be reduced by approximately 25%. So, listeners, you've heard the battle cry on both sides. Is Social Security broken, or should it just be left alone? Do you plan on a future without it? Or is this one government entitlement program that is working, despite all the political sound and fury over deficits and raiding of the trust fund? All in all, what is your fix for Social Security? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or as always, join us online at wbur.org/Boston. Well, joining us now is James Roosevelt. He is the CEO of Tufts Health Plan and a former Associate Commissioner for Retirement Policy for the Social Security Administration. He is also the grandson of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who, of course, signed the Social Security Act into law 75 years ago this weekend. James Roosevelt, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you.
Also joining us is Lawrence Kotlikoff. He's a professor of economics at Boston University. He's written extensively on Social Security. His latest book is Jimmy Stewart is Dead, Ending the World's Ongoing Financial Plague with Limited Purpose Banking. And also he's author of The Coming Generational Storm. Lawrence Kotlikoff, welcome to Radio Boston as well.
Thanks so much.
Jim Roosevelt, let me just start with you. I mean, as I said, we've heard the sound and the fury over the health of Social Security. Do you think it is broken?
Social Security is not broken, and on the other hand, it shouldn't just be left alone. It's been revised 10 times by amendments since it was signed into law 75 years ago this past Saturday to deal with changing economic times, and it's proved to be extremely resilient. We should actually be having a big birthday party, as we did at the Presidential Library at Hyde Park, in Hyde Park, New York, this past Saturday. To celebrate this 75th anniversary of the most successful government program in the history of this country.
Well, you mentioned changing economic times and Social Security changing with it. It would seem to me that this is one of those changing economic times that we're in, because as I mentioned, for the first time, due to high unemployment, we paid out more out in Social Security than took in on the payroll tax. So is this what many people have worried about the major tipping point of the Social Security Trust Fund sort of slowly diminishing over time into an eventual deficit?
This actually isn't it yet. Because of the Great Recession that we've been going through for the last couple of years, Social Security this year will use some of the interest on the trust fund to pay benefits. They won't even have to touch the principal at all, just the interest. And then in 2012, the actuaries project that will tip back again to Social Security taking in more revenue than it pays out. It's later in around 2024 that the baby boom retirees will start drawing down the trust fund, which was built up by the 1983 amendments specifically to provide for that.
So that signifies a fundamental shift in the makeup of the workforce of the United States when the baby boomers start retiring.
Well, the baby boomers are a special bulge in the population. So in 1983, President Ronald Reagan and Speaker of the House Tip O'Neill, back in the days when Republicans and Democrats could do things together, jointly appointed a commission headed by none other than Alan Greenspan to come up with the 10th time the program had been revised since 1935. And they devised higher benefits and somewhat higher revenues and somewhat lower benefits that would make the program completely solvent and completely make the trust fund sound through the entire lifetime of the baby boomers. So that's taken care of. It's the next changes in the workforce that we now need to deal with.
Larry Kotlikoff, to my ear, every 4 years we hear about Social Security come up again. I mean, I remember Al Gore and his infamous lockbox. And now, once again, you heard the sound from Nevada. And even the president himself is speaking about protecting Social Security in the long run. Jim Roosevelt seems pretty positive about its future. But you don't feel the same way about this program, do you?
Well, I'm all for forcing people to save and making sure that they do it in a safe way and that Wall Street doesn't make a huge amount of money in the process, even any money. So I'm all for government intervention in this area, and I certainly honor and respect Jim's grandfather's efforts to make that happen, make sure that people have secure retirements. But we have a system that's frankly broken. We have a system that, according to the Social Security's trustees, is 25% underfunded. In other words, you'd have to have an immediate and permanent 3 percentage point hike in the 15.3 percentage point employer plus employee payroll tax today and permanently to pay for the benefits that have been promised. So we do have a significant problem with that. Plus, we have a system that over the years has grown to be so complicated. It has 2,728 rules in its handbook, and then you look at its program operating manual system, it's 10,000 rules or so to describe those 2,728 rules, to explain those, that nobody can really understand their basic saving system. So we need a modern version of Social Security. What I think we should do is retire Social Security, freeze it in place, pay off the accrued benefits, and then set up a modern version of Social Security that would work for our day.
And let me ask you, what do you mean by a modern version of Social Security?
Well, it's very simple. Suppose you take people and have them contribute 8% of their salary into an account with their name on it, and the account contribution would be split between spouses. The government would make progressive contributions on behalf of the poor and the disabled and the unemployed, so it's very progressive. All the account balances would be invested by the government in a global market-weighted index fund, so Wall Street doesn't get any commissions. And then the government would guarantee a zero real return on the investment, so people would know for sure that they're going to get their contribution adjusted for inflation back, at least that, when they hit retirement.
Okay, so Larry Kotlikoff, let me just interject there for a second because I want to be sure I understand this correctly. Because so you're saying that basically people would be investing 8% of their income in some kind of global market fund, a.k.a. the stock market, but globally, but that their principal would be protected by the government. That's the big plan here for a new way of investing Social Security money.
Yeah, and it's not Wall Street. Again, it's you just have one computer in the Health and Human Services building that can run all this investment. It's market-weighted. It's by mathematical formula.
And yet you still have the money. You still have the potential of the growth of the money being sort of thrown to the whims of the market overall.
Well, you have this downside protection. But you know, if you really think about it, there's no safe asset in this economy. It's not like there's some that setting up Social Security makes for instant safety. Right now, the system is dramatically underfunded. This commission that the president's put together, the fiscal commission, is likely to recommend maybe a 3-year increase in retirement age, the normal full retirement age. That constitutes a 20% or so cut in Social Security benefits for younger people. So we're talking about a system that's not guaranteeing anything, really, and has been subject to a lot of changes, is providing all kinds of benefits to people that don't deserve them, and is incredibly complicated to the point that nobody can really understand what they are, you know, getting back for what they put in.
Mm-hmm. May I just comment?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, I want to also get some callers in here, but Jim Roosevelt, your response to this.
if we were to raise the contribution that people make to the Social Security system to 8% instead of the 7.1% that it is now, that would actually, and match that with employer contributions as we do now, that would actually take care of the potential reduction in benefits in 2037. There was actually a new report 2 weeks ago from the Social Security trustees that now makes it only a 22% reduction in benefits, and that would be taken care of.
It would be eliminated entirely.
It would, but nobody's in a mood to raise taxes right now that I've noticed. But there also are some fundamental differences here in the way we think about this, because I think everybody who pays Social Security tax deserves to get Social Security benefits. Social Security is an earnings-based system. It's not a welfare program. It is an insurance plan that you pay what we are know are taxes, but they are actually like insurance premiums on. And it is there to be the solid floor of retirement. I'm all for joining that with personal savings accounts. My grandfather originally saw it as one leg of a three-legged stool. Social Security as the solid floor so that people would have shelter and clothing. Then private savings, which we've gotten better on lately, but for a long time we're pretty weak on in this country. And finally, employer-based pensions, which unfortunately have become a really wobbly leg of the stool in the last of only about 20% of Americans still have employer-based pensions.
Mm, just to put all this in a little bit of perspective, in 2009, I read that nearly 51 million Americans received some $670 billion in Social Security benefits. Half of the recipients started collecting benefits as soon as they were eligible because Social Security is their main source of income in retirement in America. We are talking about the future of Social Security on its 75th anniversary. Does it have 75 years still ahead of it? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Beth is calling from Wakefield. Welcome to Radio Boston, Beth.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your thought today?
Well, my thought is that the elephant in the room is that the middle class is getting attacked on all levels. In fact, the middle class is beginning to disappear in this country, and that is the basis of the political stability that we have enjoyed up to this point, which benefits the corporations that are sending all of our jobs abroad. The people who tend to be sending all of the production capability of our country abroad tend to be the people who are making the most money. They are skimming off the top of our economy and have done so for scores of years.
And so, how does
on top of that, mm-hmm. they have benefited from a tax reduction that has actually lowered their tax rate below what the middle class is paying. I see the elephant in the room being no discussion of having those people pay their fair share.
Beth, actually, let's take that up. Let's take that up because that is in the list of potential solutions that people have suggested for Social Security. Lawrence Kotlikoff, let me ask you about that. I mean, right now, the FICA tax is capped at the first $100,000 or so that people earn.
$106,000
as of 2010, right?
Right.
So, Larry Kotlikoff, I mean, what about the viability of increasing that cap and saying taxing all the way to the first $250,000 that people earn or even higher?
Well, you know, the benefits that are provided on a progressive basis. So the people that are earning more and up to the ceiling aren't getting back as much in the way of benefits. So the system overall is progressive if you look at it. You can make it more progressive through tax hikes or benefit changes, but we have all kinds of benefits that are being given to people that don't deserve them. For example, these executives, top executives that were just referred to, if they have non-working spouses, those spouses are going to get benefits without having, you know, half of the, let's say, the CEO's benefit for their entire retirement without having contributed a dime to the system. This is the spousal benefit.
So you'd eliminate the spousal, the survivor's benefit?
I'm talking about the spousal benefit. The survivor benefit's 100% of their benefit. So we have people who are rich, dependents of people who are rich, who are getting tens of thousands of dollars every year through time without contributing a penny. And so there is major inequity that should be fixed. I think we need to have a modern version of Social Security that we can actually see, understand, and see who's getting what.
In that case,
and that's
Jim,
what I'm saying.
In that case, Jim Roosevelt, I mean, here comes the question. I know you said that it's an insurance program, but what about making Social Security means tested?
Well, Social Security is a family protection program, so it does have spousal benefits, 50% while the worker who earned the benefits is alive and 100% when the worker dies. And it does have survivor benefits for children under 18. Many people have been sustained as the children of parents who've died because of Social Security. Congressman Richard Neal from Springfield points out that he could not have gone to college if he had not had the survivor benefit under Social Security. We do need to really get back to the philosophy of Social Security is us as a society saying this is a minimum below which we will not allow people to fall in terms of their ability to have food and clothing and education.
And Jim, I don't disagree. Excuse me. I don't disagree with anything you said. Just to be clear, I don't think we should get rid of survivor benefits. I just don't think we should give them away without, you know, to the super rich without making them pay for their, you know, if they're going to get extra survivor benefits, they should have to pay for them.
Well, Magna, you asked about means testing, which I'm opposed to because that turns Social Security into a welfare program, and ultimately that will undermine the program. What I do agree with is not only raising the cap, as we talked about a few minutes ago, originally the cap on earnings was designed so that the super rich wouldn't get outlandish Social Security checks every month. And it was designed to cover about 90% of all payroll. Right now it only covers about 82% of all payroll. So I'm for raising that. I'm even for including the earnings of really high earners in the Social Security tax. But I'm opposed to a means test. What we do now is we tax a greater proportion of people's Social Security benefits on their income tax if they have high income. I am very open to adjustments at that end so that people are paying their fair share of income tax on their benefits.
Let's get one more call in here. Donna is calling from Medford. Welcome to Radio Boston, Donna.
Hi, Magna. I love the show. I agree that the cap should be raised. I think that last idea is terrific, to tax the Social Security if the people are still earning a lot after they retire. But I have a specific question, too, which is I read in different places that the money is sort of being borrowed out of Social Security for other purposes, that the money isn't really there. Then other places I read that that totally is not true. And I'm just wondering what is...
Donna, we'll have... sorry, it looks like we lost you there, but we'll have both Jim Roosevelt and Lawrence Kotlikoff help us truth squad that. Is the trust fund being raided, Jim Roosevelt?
The trust fund is not being rated. The trust fund is invested in treasury bonds and a special series of treasury bonds that is at the highest rate of any treasury bonds being sold at the given time that they're issued. They're actually bonds in a filing cabinet in a vault in West Virginia. And so it's just like when you put money in a savings account or a checking account in a bank. It doesn't sit there in the bank until you need it. They lend it out. Now, under the Social Security law, they can only lend it to the federal government. That's open for discussion as to whether that should be the restriction as to where they can invest it, because the Social Security trust fund itself can ride out the ups and downs of the stock market.
Lawrence Kotlikoff, let me ask you a question about why is it that this issue, it comes up all the time, especially during election years. I mean, I'm reading that overall, Americans still very strongly support Social Security. We've got 77% of Americans, 68% of Republicans believing that lawmakers in Washington should just leave the program alone. And yet, President Obama has this bipartisan deficit commission, as you mentioned. Its report's due by the 1st of December to really examine the national debt, sources of it, and what to do, including Social Security. So let me just ask you the basic question, I guess. Should Social Security be included amongst these issues that we're looking at on things to adjust when it comes to reducing our deficit?
Well, the entire long-run fiscal picture of the country is really bleak. It's much worse than people understand. You can say that Social Security is doing pretty well and that the rest of the budgetary situation is really doing poorly, or you could say that Social Security is doing really badly and the rest of the programs are doing somewhat better than
would otherwise be characterized, the accounting is completely arbitrary. So separating out Social Security from the rest of the government's operations is an entire, entirely arbitrary accounting exercise. There's no foundation for one way or the other. You have to look at the overall picture. The overall picture is a mess. And the overall details of, the fact that your caller was so confused about these issues is suggestive of the degree of complexity that this system has generated. We need to have something simple that people can understand and trust. And that's true not just with the Social Security system, the tax system, the healthcare system, and the financial system. We've gotten such complex bureaucratic structures put together that it's leaving people completely unaware of what's going on.
Mm. Jim Roosevelt, yep. Last question goes to you, because I have to admit I'm of the generation that has more than a little cynicism as to whether or not Social Security as we currently know it today will be there when we retire. So what's your words for the people who are looking down the line another 30, 40, 50 years and saying, am I going to get out what I'm paying in?
So if you read the trustees report and the actuarial documents that support it, you have every reason to believe it will be there, and I believe it will be. It does come down, though, to a philosophical question. Do you solve this overall federal budget problem on the backs of America's retirees, today's retirees, or future ones like yourself, and myself for that matter, or do you solve it on dealing with, do we have the right tax levels and are we spending too much on things like the defense budget?
Well, Jim Roosevelt, CEO of Tufts Health Plan and Assistant Commissioner of the Social Security Administration, and you were also on President Obama's transition team on Social Security. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Really enjoyed it and look forward to coming back.
And Larry Kotlikoff, economics professor at Boston University, and your latest book being Jimmy Stewart is Dead. We got to talk to you about that one as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We have to take another break, but when we come back, charting Boston's incredible run of growth and progress in the second half of the 19th century. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.